Well, we in Duane's Prairie was thankful for the blessings we receive. One of the blessings we receive is this tie. We talked last week about blessed be the tie. If you want to turn your red songbook, I got it handy, to number 656. That's where that song, Blessed Be the Tie, comes from. And we had really completed the first verse, and we were getting ready to go to the second verse. But we talked a little bit about the fact that we're members to each other. And that's different than maybe being a member to an organization or a member to something else. So we talked a little bit about how unique that was. Of course, that first verse is about love. And we talked about our hearts being bound in Christian love and what that looks like as a family. What's the church family like? What's that being a member or a tie to this household of God and what that means? And then we talked about the strength or the bond or the tie that we have together and how important that is. And it is really above all. It's totally different than anything else that people in the world can experience. It's totally different than a membership that you may have. Maybe you've been a member of something you really were excited about. And we talked about how many of you are members of that anymore. And most of us weren't. It's different. It is different. And this tie that we have together should be different. We were talking about, I think we left off being talked about, it says the fellowship of kindred's minds is that to above, or to that above. And that's that second part of that verse 1. And I talked about this being fitly joined together. And if you remember the example I gave of something that's perfectly joined together, I think about a picture frame. And that perfect 45-degree angle as those come together, and how I know that Duane and others who have made picture frames, how precise and perfect when one gets together and it looks good, it's fitly joined. I think about the Father and the Son and how close the Father and the Son are joined together. And I was thinking about, do we have that same bond that God the Father and the Son have together? Do I have that bond with Eric? Am I really that closely tied to him? Would I do anything for him? Do I care deeply for him? And on that goes. So the second verse is where we were going to start, and that is, before our Father's throne, let me just go to the song, before our Father's throne, we pour out our ardent prayers. And let's just pause there before we go to that second part. When you think of the word ardent, what do you think of?
David.
Okay, David, all right. Okay, you physically think of David, that's good. How about, in defining David's ardent love, what comes to mind? How would we define ardent? It's not a word we use, right? So how about intensely or enthusiastically or being enthusiastic or an intense desire, eager? Those are some of the words that we could use when we think about our ardent prayers. We're blessed in a huge way to be able to go to God the Father in prayer. We understand that, but those who don't have that privilege to be able to go to Him in prayer, think about what they miss out in. Think about your toughest times in life, how you were ardently going to Him in prayer. What did that mean to you? What did that mean to you to have the ability to go to Him in prayer and make requisition or to talk to Him as a comforter? So it's a privilege that we have in Christ. And all these things that we're talking about in this Blessed Be the Tie is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold our confessions. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have the ability to go boldly to Him to obtain mercy and to make requests. That is something that others don't have. So there is a blessing in being able to go to Him in prayer. A privilege. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 reminds us, says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How important has, over the years, how important has that peace and understanding been, or that peace and comfort been to you in maybe some really difficult times? Did you have a brother and sister to go to? Absolutely. And that's very helpful. That tie is great. But does anything supersede the ability to go to Him in prayer? It doesn't. That comfort that we receive in having that conversation, the blessings that we receive, is incredible. The song depicts frequency or fervent in prayer. And I think that's important. When we pray for one another, so we've had many of people that need prayers or have requested prayers from you. Is that a one and done thing? Maybe it has been in the past, and you can think about it. I'm certain that there's times. I mean, I know that there's times I have not prayed for someone maybe as frequently or as fervent as I should have. But is that the feeling we get about how this tie should be? And let me, I'll use something different. So let's say, and I used Eric, so I'll just stay with Eric. But let's say Eric comes to me about something he needs prayers about. I know he needs my prayers. Am I praying for Eric like I would my own son or daughter? And I want you to think about that for a second. I want you to think back to the last time you had a child that was sick, or the last time you had something going on with a family member, and how frequently you went to God and ardently you went to God in prayer about that. Is it the same for when I go to God in prayer for Eric? And if it's not, these are the challenges. You know, this for me, this study is good for us to contemplate. Is your tie what it should be? And so I'm hopeful that we're thinking about that. But praying for one another. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does it again mean, the effective and fervent? I don't get this feeling that it's just a one and done. Well, I said my prayer for Eric and I hope his issue goes away. No, it's fervent. It's ardent. It's eager to pray and think about that person and go to prayer.
We just, I don't know, it was a couple of weeks ago, had the story in the kids' class, and we studied on a Wednesday night of the woman who went to the unjust judge,
yeah.
Persistently,
yeah.
That's maybe an example.
That's a great example.
Jesus' example,
yeah.
This idea of constantly.
Yeah. Yep. Very good. So we see example of it, and we know that it's something we need to do, and that's why I say for me it's a challenge. I mean, I feel like I definitely have a list. I know the Welties have talked about, they put a list on their fridge, and they, you know, stay with that list until the problem's, you know, passed. I think it's a good one. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer, kind of goes back to Ben's point, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by who? The church. That's what the end of that verse tells us. Constant prayer was offered for him by the church. So, as brothers and sisters, when a prayer, an opportunity comes about where we should pray, we need to be consistent about that. So let me just look at a few verses. We're going to stay in Acts for a second. Can I get help with three or four verses? Acts chapter 1, verse 14, if someone will do that. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. And this is all about praying for others, so Acts 12 and 12. And then Acts 21 and 5. So we'll start with Acts 1 and 14, if somebody has that.
These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother.
Okay, thank you. How about Acts 2 and 42? Okay, so three things that they were doing and doing consistently. How about 12 and 12?
So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying.
Good. Okay. What were they doing when they got together? They were praying. How about 21 and 5?
When we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way. They all accompanied us with wives and children, so we were out of the city. knelt down on the shore and prayed.
Okay. Just four easy, quick, simple examples of what the church was doing when they got together. And that's just in the book of Acts. And I didn't even go far, right? We can read over and over and over how they were gathered together. They were praying together. They took time together to do that. They were doing other things, but they were prayerful. And again, we've been talking about benefits. Dwayne said in his prayer about blessings. Benefits, okay? These are absolute benefits that we have and things that we should take full advantage of. Were you going to say something? Yeah.
Yeah, on that art, going back to that word art,
ardent.
How we can be ardent. In Ephesians 3 and 12, it talks about, in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him.
Yeah.
That's why we can be ardent.
Yeah, because he tells us. That's right.
Be bold about it.
That's right. Yeah, good point. And so when you think about things that tie you together, we talked about this early on, but things that will connect you at the hip or make you closer. Have you ever had someone truly sit down and pray with you? I'll never forget the first time someone did that with me. You know, at first it might feel awkward, and then it's such a nice feeling. It's a comforting feeling. It's a caring feeling. And so my encouragement to all of us is take the time to do that. When we know that we need prayers, A, we have a responsibility. We should ask for them. And B, as brothers and sisters, that tie will get so much stronger when we then take the time to do that. The second part of that, our fears, so I'm in the second verse, second part. Our fears, our hopes, our aims, our one, our comforts, and our cares. We have similar concerns. So think about this. We talked about the fact that as Christians, we are similar in nature. We have similar concerns. We have similar desires, or we should. And, you know, some of those are just come about because we're just human beings. And in this world, we have similar things. But we desire health. How many, if you think about what kind of consumes your time, right? If one of us gets sick, especially in your family, it's tough, right? But healthiness, fear of sickness, dying, just the comforts in life. How about jobs? Think about the last time you didn't have a job. It kind of consumed you, didn't it? Well, where's my next job going to come from? What am I going to do? What's that look like? Poverty. You know, maybe some of us are blessed enough. We haven't thought about poverty in a long time. But we know we have brothers and sisters that think about tough times. They are beyond check to check, right? So, and all of us at some point in time have been there, right? Or tight on finances. Citizenship of the kingdom. So we all share the hope of living with Him eternally. And I've got hope of resurrection. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Another verse. So we share the struggles against temptation and persecution. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." That's the key. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, Jan may not have the same struggle I have, and I may vice versa. I don't know who I said first. But at the end of the day, is she going to have struggles in life? Sure. Am I going to have struggles in life? Yeah. So it's easy for us sometimes to be like, man, I can't understand. What's the allure of alcohol? And I'm just picking one. Why do they struggle with that so much? This seems ridiculous. But they could be looking at me thinking, well, why does he struggle? I don't know, you know, with whatever. Because just because we don't have that struggle, or it doesn't tempt us in the least bit, doesn't mean that we can't be tied to them, concerned for them, prayerful for them, caring for them. So we have to get past sometimes looking at certain things that beset somebody. Something besets Logan, and I go, well, that's silly. Or Logan looks at me and says, I can't believe Clayton's struggling with that. That's silly. We've got to get past that. Whatever that struggle is, we've got to know it's real. And if I care for my brother and sister and I want them to go to heaven, I know they've got to get past that struggle. So we should be ardently praying for that person. As Christians, we can have more in common, not just because of our human nature, not just because we're partakers in the divine nature. Grace and peace are multiplied. Think about this. This is verse 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. Let me read that. And of Jesus our Lord, as of His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by the glory and virtue. Grace and peace. I've told you my facilities manager and I have some great discussions. But he'll frequently say to me, grace and peace. That's how he greets me sometimes. Are you hoping for that same grace and peace and comfort to your brother and sister? It's a great greeting. We have exceedingly great and precious promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. By which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. These are great reminders, and I'm just getting a few of them, but I'm trying to give us enough verses to really think about why this song about blessed be the tie should mean so much to us. Third verse. Does anybody have any comments about the second verse? I just realized if I don't get moving, we're not going to get done, but I don't know that I should be in a hurry. But third verse. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear. As Christians, we're to bear one another's burdens. Well, how do we do that? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So think about that. So that's exactly what I've been saying, but the verse says it so much better. Consider yourself, okay, so that you won't be tempted. But what do? You consider that person. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's how we fulfill the law of Christ, is bearing one another's burdens. How do we do that? How do we go bear one another's burdens? You've got to be right there with them. You've got to help them through that tough time.
You know, when the writer of the song uses the word mutual.
Yeah.
It talks about we share our mutual woes and our mutual burdens.
Yeah.
Now, are there woes and burdens that are not mutual among Christians?
Well, potentially. I think there...
We have different ones. You've already brought that out.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, they should be mutual. And the fact that it goes back to the point. If I truly care for Matt, it becomes mutual, right? So whatever he's going through, I'm going through.
So you try to understand what he's going through.
That's right.
I guess.
That's right.
We make it mutual.
I think so. I think that's why it's so important. And I think that goes back to the point of if we don't try to understand and we just... For whatever reason, we can't understand. Maybe that's something we've never dealt with. Doesn't mean that because it's his problem, well, that's not my problem. And here's why. What is it that I want more for Matt than anything else? To go to heaven. Well, if I care about Matt making it to heaven, I care that we got to get past this whatever. Whatever the issue is. No different. He's going to care about me. And I think that's the key, is this is not an individual sport. Okay? For those, I look out in the audience, for those who have played sports and you've been on a team, I remember I was a freshman. We had a kid on our basketball team. Chris Wyatt thought, and I like Chris Wyatt to death, but he thought it was an individual sport. He was going to be the Michael Jordan of the basketball team. And it doesn't work. It didn't work. And if you think, oh, well, I know more than anybody else, or I'm the elder of the church, or I'm a deacon, or whatever, and I'm concerned about it, it doesn't work that way. We have to truly care. In times of spiritual weakness, we are to pray for one another. James 5:16, we talked about this. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another. In times of persecution, remember one another. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Well, I guarantee you there are people like, well, he's in prison. That's just Paul's problem. Good luck. But They pretended they were in prison by caring, visiting, praying, whatever. In times of physical need, we are to provide for one another. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Do you do that? Are we doing that? We're encouraged to do good to one another as we have opportunity. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are the household of faith. We talked about this before. I think Ben has given us a lesson about, well, how do we care for people in the world? Well, we are to do that, and especially the household of faith. So, for those of us who are brothers and sisters, we should be looking out for one another. All right. How is that manifested? In such a way that the tie that we have in Christ is truly a blessing. Don't forget that. So this is the second part of verse 3. And often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. Because that is how God composed the body of Christ. That's how He created us. Let's read a couple of verses here. Will somebody turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? I guess it's just one I need help with. 1 Corinthians 12 and 24 through 26.
While presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it.
Okay. What comes to your mind when you read that? What immediately pops into your head? A family, a team. Just your physical body, right? Think about the time, and I'll just use something simple. When your knee hurts, you sprain your knee or your ankle, or you break something, what ends up happening? The rest of your physical body suffers because you're hobbling around and it hurts and I can't, whatever. No different than if one of us has an issue, we all should hurt. We all become then concerned, right? We might weep with those that weep. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, have you ever been somewhere at work and someone got an award that you thought you could get? So you're sitting there in the audience and you think, there's a potential here that I may get this. And someone else gets it. What immediately goes through your mind? Thought I had it. Okay. Oh, put your game face on. I thought I had it. Well, when a member has, and Karen, say there was a part there, what was it that made me think of that? So you got the one member suffering, they all suffer, and wasn't there a good part to that? Yes. Yeah, if one member is honored, all members rejoice. Totally different, right? It's different than in the world. It's different than when we missed out on that trophy or that opportunity or whatever. But if one of us gets honored in such a way, we all feel honored because that's our family member that just got honored. So we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with they weep. And you know, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about this the other day. Why did we announce up here? There's multiple reasons, but so-and-so got the character award. Isn't it kind of neat for when your child gets that character award? But don't you see everybody kind of smile when somebody gets the character award? We love it. It's a great thing. Small, but I'm just giving us things to think about. Okay, fourth verse. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. The tie is such that departure can be painful. So let's look at Paul and the Ephesians, Acts chapter 20, verses 36 through 38. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all, which again, we're back to praying. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. I want you to think about, this is the easiest one for me to think about. For those of you who have gone to the camp out, and probably when you're kids, it maybe seems like it was tougher, but I remember hating to leave the camp out. I'd cry half the way home as a little kid. Why? Because it was so stinking fun to be with your brothers and sisters. And I hated leaving. How many of you have gone to a weekend meeting and you've come across that childhood friend or that person you've been friends with your whole life at that weekend meeting, and you just hate leaving. That's how that makes me feel, and that's just the only thing I can think about, but that's how it should be. Do we, when we leave for the day, I mean, I get it, we plan to see each other on Wednesday or plan to see each other on Sunday, but are we kind of sad in a way? We should be, because this is like perfection. This is like our bubble, if you will. We get to come and be in our bubble for a Sunday twice and a Wednesday. And for those of us who miss coming to the bubble, you're missing out. We should want to be here more than we want to be anywhere else, right? Let's see here. Where did I leave off? I got excited about leaving friends sometimes. We'll be joined at the heart. Okay, so this is the second part of that fourth verse. But we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of the faith in Christ. So, I may be absent in flesh. I may not be here with you. We may not be with our friends in Kansas City or, you know, wherever that is. Whatever, I always think of, we used to go to a lot of meetings in Kansas City. But wherever that is, we're at the camp out. You may not be there physically, but you still can be with that person, care for them, reach out to them, in spirit, rejoicing with them when there's time to rejoice, and praying for them and mourning with them when there's time to mourn. We're comforted by this wonderful hope, this hope of resurrection. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13 through 18, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That whole passage there, those group of five or six verses, are comforting. It's hard for us to sometimes think about death. But when you read that, you realize we're going to be back together. And there's a lot to be looking forward to. Well, this is all made possible through His resurrection and our faith in Him. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through the faith in salvation, faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This is the hope. So we're nearing the end, and we are in the fourth verse. This is the hope that keeps our hearts joined together. We can't forget that. This is not like any other joining outside in the world. Friendship, you know, I think it was Lily that talked about a friend that she's had her whole life. It's different. It is different than that. You know what the first thing she said when after church was over? Well, they're not in the church, and we are good friends, but it kind of stops there. That's right. It stops there. They are not truly, truly fit together like we're fit together. It's totally different. All other bonds, I don't care how strong you think they are, they will break down at some point in time. They just do. But the bond that we have, it doesn't. It is totally different. All right. So I know I kind of raced through that third and fourth verse quickly. What other thoughts do you have before I kind of wrap up with our last few verses? Anybody have any thoughts about any of those first four?
Well, in that last one about being joined,
yeah,
we can be joined with Paul. In fact, he instructed us and asked us to do that in Philippians 2, 3 and 17. It says, Brethren, join in following my example.
Yeah.
And note those and So in, that you may follow the example, the pattern that the apostle set. So,
yep.
So that can, that's through the heart and through the spirit. We can reach back and out to all people that we are acquainted with.
Yep. Good point. Okay. You know, I had overlooked in my notes, but, you know, earlier on we talked about that tie, and we talked about that sympathizing tear, that third verse. You know, it's interesting here. We, as a congregation, we experienced two pretty significant things. We had death of Stacy, but we had the life that Haley and Jacob just brought about, and with Xander. And in both of those things, we come together as family, and we comfort, and we love, and we're excited, and we're saddened, right? All those are perfect examples, and it won't be our last. And that's the thing we have to remember. If it's Dwayne and Theta today, and Haley and Jacob today, will it be you tomorrow, in whatever way? So that's the part that keeps us joined. Blessed be the tie. It's a beautiful song. It describes blessings of oneness. It describes blessings in Christ. And it's an expression, in my opinion, of how Christians can truly feel. It's a good song. It describes blessings known only by those, and I think this is the most important point for us. It describes blessings that only those who are in Christ and have been buried with Him get to experience. And that's an awesome thing for us, but a sad thing for those outside. And so what that reminds all of us to do is what? Tell others about Him. Give others the same opportunity to have this tie that we get to enjoy that we can take for granted at times. And I hope we haven't. And that's my whole point of this 2-week study, is to not take that tie for granted, because there are millions who don't have it that would love it. They grope for it and grasp for it in tons of ways, and they just don't know how to get it. And it's really up to us to help them. When we've been added to His church, we've been added to His family, we become a son or daughter of His, we get that. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 47. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily to those who were being saved. Guess what? That's never stopped. It happened then, and it's still happening today, those being added to His church. Who are you going to go help add to His church? Maybe there's a family member that you have been working with a long time. And maybe at times you've given up and you just got frustrated. Like, oh, they don't care. Why do I care more than they care? Don't grow weary in well-doing. Do your best to pull them into this tie. Do your best to show them this tie that we have that they can have. Because guess what? We all go and do things and be a part of things that we see benefits, perks. Think about all the things you buy or go get in life. Why is it? Because it's going to be a beneficial to you, right? Well, some people just don't see the benefit in being a Christian. You know what they focus on? Well, I'd have to give up Sunday. I really like to camp, and I like to go to football games, and I like to do it. I'm not going to give up those things. They don't realize that, no, you're not giving up those things. It's a perk. It's a major benefit to be bound with one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Think about it. He was a prisoner here, but still saw it a benefit, a perk. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Are you diligent to preserve this love and peace, and this being fit together as one? First of all, I guess, and I look out, and I think we're blessed in this way. I know we've got some young kids, but have you been added to the Lord's church? Acts 2:38. Are you doing your part to strengthen those ties? There's like a bunch of questions for us to finish this. Are you added to his church? If so, check. Good. All right, done. What are you doing, though, to strengthen your bond? Maybe you've got somebody that's... I'll just use this dividing line. We got this side and we got this side, right? There's an invisible line here. Are your ties as tight? And this is kind of silly, but you'll get the picture. Are your ties as tight and your binding as tight with this group as it is over here? I hope. Is your tie as tight from the front of the congregation to the front to the back? And vice versa? I hope, right? Brandon smiles, but it's kind of funny and silly. But is it? Who cares where you sit? Who cares if you're family or not family? We're all family. And we got to do our best to make sure we mourn when those mourn. We pray with those who need prayers. We rejoice when there's rejoicing. And beyond everything, and this is the verse I'll finish with, and we'll get a couple minutes to talk. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Beyond all these things, and there were things that I could have read. Beyond all these things, put on what? Love. Put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. If we can put on love, unity happens. But when there's no love, unity becomes very difficult. Okay, I'll pause. We've got 3 minutes, and I'm just going to open it up because I've said everything I can really say. What other items do we anybody like to add about this blessed be the tie? It seems like a simple...
You hear about something, a person or a family in crisis, maybe evaluate their support system.
Yeah.
So I think about like if someone's school, the crisis, you know, well, how's their support system? Do we need to step up with this or this or this? And I think that if it were me, they would, my people at school would be saying about me, well, she has a need to support system. That's something that not everyone has inherently.
Yeah, for sure. And I think even that support system conversation goes deeper than here, right? So we have this church family, and some of us are blessed to have tons of family members around them. And I'm talking about outside the church, but just family members. Doesn't necessarily do the same for us as the church, but we've got to think about that too. So I think that's a real good consideration. Other items as I ring the bell. Okay. Well, I'll leave it.